Next is impact and selectivity. Impact, in simple dictionary meaning, means how impactful will your medium be, how impactful will your reach be, or how impactful will your frequency be for a particular audience to be able to make a decision and buy the product. Does the medium in question offer full opportunities for appealing to the appropriate senses such as sight, hearing in its graphic design and production quality? How good or bad is your graphic or your creative strategy? How good or bad is your production quality? Obviously, it has to be good or better or best, but that's exactly how impactful your ad will be. It depends on the kind of creative you have to the kind of production quality that you have put into in making the ad. Thus, that's exactly how you and your medium will have the greater impact on your audience. Selectivity. Up to what extent or what degree can the message be restricted to those people who are known to be the most logical prospects? Now, in simple terms, how much can you control the message to be reaching out to exactly the people that are your logical prospects, are your target audience, or are the probable buyers? You can control it to a particular level, but not 100%. Thus, selectivity and selectively placing your ads on the right kind of medias to the right TG is very important. Gross impressions. Gross impressions is the total number of potential exposures, which is audience size by the number of times the ad message is used during a period. It's basically a sum of total number of the potential exposures given to the audience, which is your target audience. It is defined as the summation of exposures of the target audience to media vehicles in a media plan. It includes all sorts of your media vehicles, your media channels in a media plan, and how many times did a particular user get exposed to the ad. Combine all of that and you get your gross impressions. Each exposure is counted as one impression. More the impressions, the better it is. But don't overdo it or even underdo it for your audience, because that can have a negative and a positive impact both. Negative in a way that too much of an ad can be boring for a user, and too less for an ad can be a little too not very remembering easily, not very easy to convince the customer if that person has not seen the ad multiple times. So just right should be your gross impressions. Let's take an example. Suppose an advertiser puts advertisements on a program of a TV channel viewed 5 times by 6,000 people in the TG and 7 times by 6,000 people in a 4-week period. Also, suppose during the same 4-week period, the ad is put another program of a second TV channel viewed 3 times by 3,000 people in the target audience. The gross impressions would be the summation of number one, which is 6,000 people in the target audience viewing it 5 times, which is 6,000 into 5, plus 6,000 into 7, plus 3,000 into 3, which gives you a gross impression value of 81,000. The first group receives an impressions of 30,000, second group receives an impressions of 42,000, wherein the third group receives an impression of 9,000. Thus, all in all, 81,000 impressions are received during a 4-week period by the brand or that advertiser who's put up the ad on the TV channel. Thus, in simple terms, reach multiplied by frequency equals to GRPs, which will help you understand your gross impressions better and calculate them easily. Reach multiplied by frequency added for every media channel, that is going to give you the gross impression. Circulation and readership. Circulation is a primary term used in print media. It's basically the number of copies it distributes on an average day. How many copies of that newspaper is reaching to how many people as a whole? It is one of the principal factors used to set advertising rates, because the more the frequency, the more and the better the circulation in bigger and better geographies, the better your advertising rates can be. The more readership you have, the better circulation you have, the higher advertising rate is what you can charge the advertiser. In many countries, circulations are audited by independent bodies such as the Audit Bureau of Circulations to assure advertisers that a given newspaper does indeed reach the number of people actually claimed by the publisher. Because there can be a probable thing wherein the promised number of viewers or readers that you were supposed to reach would be X, but it reaches to X minus 1. Thus, there is a body which controls all of this and does a regular audit so that you reach to at least the minimum number of people that the publisher has claimed. In a lot of developed countries, newspaper circulation is falling due to social and technological changes such as availability of the news in the power of your hands or the palm or the mobile phone via the internet. Yes, a lot of countries have seen a significant drop in the readership of newspaper and the circulation of newspapers. But nonetheless, there is still an audience in the country like India where they love to wake up with a newspaper and a cup of tea. In some developing countries, circulation is increasing as these factors are more than cancelled out by rising incomes, populations, and literacy. In India, according to IRS or the Indian Readership Survey, works on readership numbers. IRS covers information on over 100 product categories. IRS information is available in user-friendly software and is an essential tool for category, brand, and media understanding. You should know what you are paying for as an advertiser, which is circulation versus the readership. Let's say the circulation is 100, but the readership is only 20%. That means your actual ad will be exposed to only 20 people. You need to make sure that your readership in comparison to circulation is on average a decent number. Readership figures are usually higher than circulation figures because of the assumption that a typical copy of a newspaper is read by more than one person. If a person receives a newspaper copy in the house, obviously there will be multiple people reading the newspaper, and that is where your readership will be much higher compared to your circulation. Let's say you're circulating the newspaper to houses of, let's say, 100. The readership can go to 200, 300, 400, 500, 700, depending on the number of people who are actually reading the newspaper. CDI and BDI. What does CDI and BDI refer to? CDI refers to Category Development Index. It basically measures the sales potential of a product category. To determine CDI, a market's category sales percentage is divided by the total population percentage of that market and finally multiplied by 100. It takes into account the potential of all competitors selling the same category. Now, it gives you an entire understanding of what category of your product is getting viewed or reaching to the audience compared to the total population in the market versus your competitors. It always takes into account all the competitors selling the same category of product or the same category of business or the same service. Whereas BDI refers to Brand Development Index. It measures the sales strength of a brand in a particular area. How amazingly important is your sales strength in an area of a particular brand is exactly what BDI gives to you. To determine BDI, a market's brand sales percentage is divided by the total population percentage of that market multiplied by 100. This index enables a media planner to allocate the media budget by setting his priorities. BDI, again, equals to percentage of brand to total sales in the market divided by percentage of total population in the market multiplied by 100. It helps you understand which particular area has a better scope of the sales for your brand. It tells you the market positioning of the particular product or the brand as a whole in a geography specifically to your understanding and to your target audience. Media cost efficiencies. Media is a major expenditure for most advertisers. It's obviously said, better said than never, that yes, media is undoubtedly the most major expenditure a marketer or a brand or an advertiser is making today. The cost of the time and space has increased about 5 to 6% annually. The time to place an ad at a particular place, like from a hoarding to an ad on Google, to the cost of the space in a newspaper to a hoarding or on a social media platform, is gradually and rapidly increasing. It is also increasingly difficult to reach a more fragmented audience. Yes, it's becoming more difficult to reach to the right kind of fragmented audiences in specific media channels. It's next to impossible, but through geographies and through the targeting, you can actually reach out to a most optimal level of the audience. The search for the best media buys has created a cutthroat cost negotiating environment. What happens is, a lot of medias are present in the market. For example, you have your OTT platforms, to your television, to your newspaper, to social media, to Google, to many, many, many more. And the competition in the cost of advertising on each of these platforms is something where a marketer or a media planner needs to decide where what money will matter for which kind of brand. The goal of low cost contradicts the current trend towards specialized media. Previously, media choices were limited to three major networks, a few general circulation magazines, largely monopolistic daily newspapers, and a few more. But today, you have a plethora of choices to choose from. That's exactly where it becomes much, much more interesting or challenging for the media planner like you to decide which media is good for your brand. Now you are fragmenting media and splintering target markets, resulting in advertisers paying much more versus what they were doing earlier to reach a particular person. Media planners are collecting more diverse market research and exploring media ranging from the yellow pages to the internet and moving into disciplines of public relations and direct response marketing. Plus, they're also thriving on amazing amount of data that they receive on a regular basis to understand the mindset of the consumer, to how they're consuming the ad, and much more. Media cost efficiency is a subject that dominates most media buyers. As every coin has a flip side, in the same way, the cheapest price or buying on cost per thousand or CPM basis seems to override the real reason that any media manager would choose to advertise in the media. But cheap doesn't always mean good, and low CPM generally means no attention to where or how the exposure occurs. So better CPM or economical media buying, the media decision would depend on prudence of the media manager. How much have you done media planning? How well have you executed campaigns in the past? That is exactly going to make sure the way you bid and the way you buy your medias for your clients. Thus, do not always go for the cheapest price or just going for the CPM, but yes, also look at the kind of reach will it get, the kind of impact will it get, the kind of sales, if that is an objective, will your media campaign get for your brand. Coming on to digital media objectives. There is a specific limit to the potential reach of digital campaigns. Yes, it is therefore very important to focus on improving the targeting and creative development. Two things: target the right audience, make the right creatives. Target the right audience, make the right creatives. Once again, target the right audience, make the right creatives. If your creative is not strong, it will not reach to the right people. People might not even stop on it, they will not click on it. If the targeting is wrong, it is hitting in the dark, it is not hitting the target where you actually want your brand to be reaching out to. Scalability and synergy needs to be taken into account when planning. You need to know up to what level will you be scaling up the campaign and how in synchronization and in synergy with it is it with the brand and the platform you're advertising on. To drive reach and frequency, it can be more efficient to use digital rather than more TV. 100% yes. Digital is much more efficient than TV to give you a better reach and better frequency any given day. You can also maximize the effect of digital by focusing on the quality of creatives and its integration into the overall media plan, rather than just increasing the spends. Try to focus on the quality of creative like we discussed earlier. The creative quality is the most crucial part of your digital advertisement and its integration into the overall media plan. That is where you don't need to increase the spends by a great margin, but maximize the effect as a whole. Wherein, in case of social media, having fewer fans doesn't necessarily mean that the fan page isn't working well. What you should try to do is post regularly. Keep your audience engaged on a regular basis. They should be seeing your brand on a regular basis. In the Facebook environment, we recommend at least 15 posts per month to keep the page lively. Again, if you're trying to produce great amount of content, once in a week is also great. But posting alternate basis, which is 15 posts a month, is an amazing thing to do because that is exactly where you and your audience are interacting almost on every alternate day. The optimal frequency will also depend on the objectives for the page and the kind of content available. There are certain brands which post only once a week, twice a week, four times a week, every day as well. But overposting can have a negative impact and a negative effect at very high frequencies, or if you're just posting for the sake of it. Do not ever post for the heck of it, because your audience needs to be shown three E's of social media, which are either you educate your audience, either you entertain your audience, or you make sure that they are getting engaged with you. You educate, you entertain, or engage them through an emotion. The three E's, again, educate, entertain, strike an emotion. Educate, entertain, strike an emotion. That's what you need to do always on social media. Thus, never post for just the heck of it. Make sure that the post is reaching out to the right people, giving the right message, and striking either of the three E's, emotion, entertainment, or educate. That's what your audience wants out of social media. Again, this E's can differ according to your brands, but it is always going to revolve around these three E's. Also, you should try to stay on top of the latest Facebook page trends and check out what other fan pages are doing or what other competitors are doing in order to differentiate your brand and yourself with their strategies and their content and their creatives. To put it out very simply, digital media planning and buying teams figure out how, when, and where to reach consumers through digital while keeping a consistent and a constant eye on the ROI. Yes, eye on the ROI, that's what matters. Because when you come to digital media, yes, apart from awareness, the major goal of a lot of brands is getting ROI. It requires extensive media planning with the creative process, optimizing the digital marketing mix, and developing attribution models to measure the return on media spends. The return on media spends is what every brand, every marketer, every advertiser will want to achieve the maximum. Because at the end of the day, any marketing or advertising has a particular objective, which is in future, not today, not tomorrow, but in future, boil down to the ROI or the return on the ad spends. Thus, having a crucial media plan for your digital media is very important. Plus, buying the right kind of media mix is equally important to show it to the right kind of consumers and reach out to the right kind of TG to get the right kind of ROI. Social media measurables. Social media metrics are important because they can provide and prove how you can measure a successful campaign and how successful a campaign is actually turning out to be, how amazingly well your social strategy is performing, and ultimately if you will have an impact on your overall business or not. Like other mediums, the metrics are common in nature, such as volume, reach, engagement, influence, and share of voice, and many, many, many more. The first and the easiest social media metric to measure is volume. Reach measures the spread of a social media conversation over different geographies and different consumers. Engagement measures the frequency of interaction and depth of the message that can be explained with the help of retweets or replied, or the number of likes on your post, plus comments on your post, plus shares on your post, plus saves on your post, plus retweets, whatever, depending on the platform. Engagement is a combination of all the metrics wherein a user has interacted with your post. Likes, comments, shares, saves, many, 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 many more. Influencing is simply behavior output, such as referrals or conversions, while share of voice is presence vis-a-vis compared to your competition. How much do you have the share of the content versus your competition? The various ad measurables are CPM, CPC, CTR, Google Analytics, WhatsApp Chat Analytics, Twitter Analytics, Facebook Analytics, and SEO. CPM meaning cost per 1,000 impressions. What is the cost that you had to pay to reach to 1,000 different customers? Now, in this case, you can actually be reaching out to the same customer and you can reach out to them multiple times as well. But CPMs are generally used and very important in an awareness-based campaigns wherein you're trying to make the consumer or the customer aware about your product. CPI, or the cost per impression, is basically the cost that you had to pay for a particular impression for reaching out to the right potential audience for your ad campaign. CPC is the cost per click. How much did it cost you to get a particular click? Which is basically CPC is divided by, CPC is equals to total cost divided by the number of clicks. Let's say, for example, the cost you had to spend in a campaign was 10,000 versus you got about close to 1,000 clicks. So your CPC comes out to be 10,000 divided by 1,000, which is 10 rupee a click. CTR, which is the click-through rate, which is basically how many people saw your ad and actually clicked on it. How many people just interacted with the ad and how many people clicked on it. You might have a good CTR, which is very important in a digital media plan, because just seeing the ad will not help you as an advertiser, but your audience actually clicking on it and having a bigger and a higher CTR or a better click-through rate will actually help you. There are different analytical tools, right from Google Analytics, which helps you understand the traffic on your website, to those different sources on your website, which kind of phones, which kind of social media channels, which kind of websites through which your website is receiving traffic. You can observe everything right from your bounce rate to the website, to the session, timing, average of each user, and many, many, many more. Then you have different platforms providing different analytical tools like WhatsApp Chat Analytics, Twitter Analytics, Instagram Analytics, Facebook Analytics, which will give you a consolidated report and analysis of the number of impressions, the engagement, the number of likes, saves, shares, and when is your audience interacting with the content the most, which days are they interacting with the most, what kind of demographic do you have, males versus female percentage, what cities are you present in, how many followers are you gaining on a regular basis or losing on a regular basis, and many, many, many more. What is the best time for your particular brand's account to post, when is your audience the most active? And all the things which you can imagine are covered into Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Analytics. They make you understand and analyze your campaigns better so that you can further upscale your outputs in future campaigns. Search engine optimization, or SEO. Search engine optimization is all about making small modifications to the part of any website. In more simpler terms, SEO is basically putting in the right keywords on your website, putting in the right alternative text to your images that you upload on the website, plus, very importantly, feeding new content to your users and to Google on a regular basis through mediums of blog, uploading your case studies, your work, and many more. When viewed individually, these changes might seem like an incremental improvement, but when combined with other optimizations, they could have a noticeable impact on the site's user experience and performance in organic search results. The whole point of SEO is getting your website to reach the first three or the top three Google results, Google search results, whenever a user searches for a keyword or a query which is related to your business. Media managers can tweak the performance or enhance the performance of a media plan with the help of SEO, coupled with retargeting. That means wherever you involve SEO in your media strategies and whoever is visiting your website, you retarget them through ads on Google and then make sure that they end up checking out your product and even end up buying your product in some cases or your service. Ideally, optimization decisions should be based upon the content and the type of visitors any site is looking for. Your optimization on your website should be specifically done on the kind of content that you're going to upload and the kind of industry that you're trying to target and the type of visitors that you are actually going to be looking for. If you have a matured audience, build content like that. If you have a young audience, build content like that, depending on the kind of visitors who will be actually coming onto your website. Focusing too hard on specific tweaks to gain ranking in the organic results of search engines may not deliver the desired results. Thus, SEO is all about putting the site's best foot forward when it comes to visibility in search engines, but we need to keep one thing in mind, which is the ultimate consumers are visitors, not search engines. Yes, you need to optimize the site for search engines like Google and others, but you need to make sure it is not so technical that your user cannot understand what is happening. Because at the end of the day, who did you build the website for? Your visitors, your users, your end consumers, who will further on be checking it out and buying something from your website. The biggest tip for doing a great SEO for your website is keep producing content on a daily basis. If possible, upload a new blog every day on something which your users are searching for. Answer that in your blog or your video on YouTube or wherever you can produce new content for your website. If possible, daily or weekly or at least two times in a month. SEO optimization process is often viewed as a struggle to rank well for just a few keywords instead of a struggle to satisfy the needs of those entering the query. Yes, you need to satisfy the customer or the user as Google tries to give them the most relevant answer with the most relevant website for that particular search query. Therein, you need to basically put in your best keywords, which will finally lead the sites in the rankings and obtain traffic for your content. You will need to rank much higher than those top websites because there are already certain websites which are ranking much higher compared to your website currently. Thus, your optimization on the website, your links, your keywords, your updates should always be done properly, and then everything should put together and planned properly. That is when your SEO will be improved. There are two kinds of SEO. One is on page and one is off page. On page meaning whatever happens on your website. Off page meaning whatever is coming onto your website through different websites in form of backlinks, in form of links to your website, or from Quora, or from social media platforms, or any other source. Thus, SEO is equally important for a media buyer to get more traffic on the website and get more visitors, and finally retarget them and be able to sell the product to them. The POEM, the paid, owned, and earned media. It's basically a very easy way to dissect a brand and its marketing initiatives in the entire planning process. Now, how much will be used, how much budget will be used in the paid medias, to the owned medias, to the earned medias. Now, paid medias refers to wherever you advertise and pay an advertiser, right from your social media ads, to your newspaper ads, to your display ads, to anything and everything which is majorly talking about digital paid media. Your own media are your digital properties, like your blog, like your website, like your Facebook pages, like your social media pages, your channels, and everything else wherein you can advertise. Third is earned media, wherein you get your brand's leveraging from different vendors, different influencers, or different social networks, wherein you as a media planner gets extra bonus. Thus, you need to have a good combination of paid, owned, and earned media in any media plan that you make sure that you're doing for a brand or for yourself as an advertiser. That brings us to the summary of the chapter. What did we learn? We learned that an advertiser can choose a single medium or a mix of media to take its message to the target audience. Second, a combination must be synergized, where the sum of total effects is greater than the sum of individual mediums effect. Media manager has to understand the size and the characteristics of the readership or viewership. Measurable are handy while taking that call, but we need to understand that every quantifiable information is surrounded by qualitative aspects. A wise media manager should balance the quantitative and qualitative aspects of media decisions. On that note, it brings us to the end of the chapter. Thank you so much for staying this while. Until next time, take care, stay safe. Thank you so much.